Average customer is somebody who's first time mining Bitcoin to maybe medium size miner who's maybe they've already played with the Nano. They already have one or two miners at home, but now they're looking for an actual investment, right? Now they've done their learning and now they want to really invest in mining. Those would be our largest customer base.
Hash rate up. Hardware sales, advisory, hosting, and site brokerage. Find new and used ASIC deals through the website and the Telegram channel below. Make smarter decisions with Hash Rate Up. Welcome back to Hash Rate Up. Today, I have the great pleasure of speaking to Mr. Chris from Altair Tech, who have recently decided to sponsor the show. So no doubt I had to get them on to give their show, to give their brand a bit of a spotlight. And to make you guys, as well as me, better understand what it is they do and what their philosophy is and all of that good stuff. Chris, how are you doing?
Good, good, Jess. Appreciate you having us on.
You are jack of all trades at Altair. You do a bit of everything. Admin, sales, marketing, customer support. So when people interact with the website, they interact with you. Is that how that works?
Yep, pretty much. Whenever you... click on the little chat bubble and need support in any kind of way, you're generally talking to me.
All right, man. Before we get right into it, let me just share my screen. We are recording at, if my eyes don't deceive me, 928451. And our hash rate is at, where are we? 1.05 exahashes. Looking at a downward difficulty adjustment. What's been curious, Chris, and I wonder if you have thoughts, if we go over here to network, like you see how there was this top here at 1.157. And since then, we've kind of been stagnating. And they haven't often, if you look at this graph, like this is one period, but there haven't often been periods where hash rate growth kind of declined. And there's a lot of theories right now about where that might come from, that negative growth. A lot of people are saying China. A lot of people are saying Russia. So the question I guess I have for you is, I know you guys are obviously active in the American market, and that's where I have most of my network and contact as well. How much visibility do you guys have into like global mining? Or do you feel similarly blind as I do?
Yeah, I think we're kind of in the same boat. We do ship all over the world, but it's not at the same scale as in North America. So with the recent hash rate dip, everybody was immediately saying it was China. China's turning off, which kind of can make sense, you know, if you've dealt with Bitmain before. They tend to, you can generally see a nice ramp up in hash rate right before something's released, and then you kind of see a drop once it does get released.
What are you trying to say?
That could be what is happening at the moment, or what happened with the upcoming S23 release here in the next 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, they have to test the machines. There's like talks about, and I have to get into this a bit more and give this a bit more of a spotlight as well. There's talks about, you know, China confiscating miners again, and I'm trying to get a visual, or I'm trying to get some information out of people who are local to the region who do know, because I kind of want to, I think in 2026, want to just broaden my spectrum a bit, right? Because in America, everything is so transparent. We've got all these public companies, they announce what they buy, you know, it's all out there for us to find. But what happens in LATAM, China, Russia, it's completely, you know, yeah. I know there's not a lot happening in Africa, which I'm trying to change, but there is, there's just very little visibility. Anyway, Chris, Altair Tech, which model, to start off with, which model did you guys sell most of in 2025?
Do you know that? On the commercial side, the S21 XP has been a really good performing unit.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, we've seen steady sales with the XP. on the whole mining side, there's a very clear winner. It's the Avalon Q.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Why do you
it's
think
a
those two
amazing bike.
units have been sold so much? What, because historically the XPs are always quite overpriced, I feel like. Right? Why do you think that S21 XP went off the shelf so well?
I think this cycle, if you want to say it's, we've seen less of chasing just pure hash rate and more of trying to chase efficiency over hash rate. So that could be what was leading to, the giant growth in sales from the XP was there's nothing else on the market that can compete with it generally, at
Okay.
least for most of the year. With the Q, there's nothing like it on the market. There is no
Why?
competitor.
What makes it so special, in your opinion?
We've never been able to have 90 terahash inside your home, run off Wi-Fi, and be virtually silent. Last cycle, 90 terahash was a J Pro, a $8,000 unit or so, or whatever it was during that time. Now you can have something sitting in your room and your wife really not even know it's there, right? She just gets to enjoy the heat from it.
Yeah, and it's also it looks very much like a tower PC. Do you think that the design had anything to do with that as
Absolutely.
well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the most consumer-friendly device ever really released. Typically you got these big giant ant miners with these giant, aluminum cases, and they look like big bricks, right? This you can put in your house, and again, we joke all the time that it's wife approved because you're what you can put it in your house, and your wife's not gonna yell at you and tell you how ugly the thing looks and how loud it is. It can just run in the corner and,
Do its thing.
mindset.
And what's your customer base usually like? I mean, these things are still not economical on household electricity prices, right? So what makes people buy them? Is it really for the heat? Are
Yeah,
people
absolutely.
heating? Okay.
Yep. So there you can we have a shroud for the Q that can attach to the back of the Q, and people have been just integrating right into their HVAC. So they just duct it right directly into their HVAC and they're using it that way. They're also using it just to maybe offset their heating bill, right? I know for me personally, I have one in our living room and we have a dual zone, thermostat controls. And the thermostat that's over there on that side, it's set at 68. It never really kicks on. The Q generally heats up that entire space all by itself. So my furnace doesn't have to kick on. And at the same
All
time, I get
right.
to check the little sats.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Okay, so it's yeah, it makes sense. It's a good combination, I think, also of design and experiencing mining and getting mining into your house. And a lot of people who follow the industry, have now. It's a very low entry barrier. Okay, that's cool. Awesome. Chris, tell me, like, tell me a bit about Altair. Like, what's the strategy? Where did you guys start? Because you've already mentioned the shroud. What other sort of special products do you have? Let's start there, maybe.
Yeah,
Starting with the
absolutely.
company, like, what's the
So,
focus?
focus is getting rid of all of the backdoor deals, the WhatsApp sales, Telegram sales, just it's 2025, right? There's no need to shop on WhatsApp and Telegram anymore. It shouldn't be that hard. It shouldn't be that behind closed doors for people. It should be as easy as clicking a button on your computer and placing an order, right? So our goal is just basically provide that process and be as reliable and as transparent as possible. Altair was started back in 2021. My boss started as a mining company. We are miners. I'm a home miner myself. I have a pole barn out back. But he had parts and things that he needed, and it friends that needed parts and stuff. And when you gotta import things overseas, it takes a little while, right? And downtime matters. So eventually he started stocking up more parts, and that's kind of how the business itself started. Now we do design a couple of our own products. We had the Bit Chimney that we released And then we have the Erlacher as well, as well as that 120 volt modified power supply. So there's
what is the Erlacher? What is the Erlacher? Explain that to the audience and myself.
The Erlacher is a converted antminer that can run off 120 volt. So before the modified power supply, you would build an Erlacher, which with a Loki kit, you can basically it runs off Wi-Fi. There's a Wi-Fi dongle, 120 volts, and it's an antminer that's just been already converted for you.
Buying Bitcoin miners should be simple, safe, and fast. Altair Technology delivers exactly that. Based in the US and shipping directly from St. Louis, Altair eliminates all the shady messaging groups, customs and tariffs issues, and makes sure Bitcoin miners get to you on time. Altair stocks leading commercial ASIC miners, efficient home units, and all the critical parts you need, backed by real inventory, real support, and a team of people that you can rely on and actually mines Bitcoin. Thank you so much, Altair Technology, for supporting the show. And without further ado, let's get back to it. Why is the 120 volts important?
It's important because not everybody has the infrastructure in place to mine Bitcoin. And it costs a lot of money typically to get that infrastructure in place, even if you do want to mine Bitcoin. So before, you could only really mine Bitcoin at home with a little lottery device, you know, nothing that's really going to actually generate any real revenue for you. It's a learning tool, right? Now we have options where people can actually mine in their homes, in their offices, at work, anywhere without the need to have that upfront cost of electrical infrastructure.
What does the Avalon Q run at?
It runs 110 to 240.
Okay. So you can plug it in and that low voltage as well. All right. Because I'm used to, I mean, this is American electricity infrastructure as well. I think this comes into play there because everything here in South Africa, everything in Germany is always 230 volts all the way through. Right. Yeah. But then you're right. I mean, people don't have, you know, if you plug in three machines into my plug here at home, no doubt it's going to short out, you know, so you're right. You need to have special infrastructure in place. So you guys, and then the PSU, tell me about that. It was the same thing. We just want to attach a PSU run any miner at 120.
Most S19 and all S21, it's a modified APW12. Basically it's good for all S19s besides a select few of the very early S19s that required a different voltage. Basically as long as it's APW12, it generally works for you.
And Bitmain just lets you do that?
No, it's an aftermarket design that was done, created by Zach Boomsta. You can follow him on X. He has a guide on how to do it. If somebody wants to tear a PSU apart and modify it themselves, they can go ahead and do that too.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I think what you're doing is important because mining is going to be more specialized down the line. I just had an interview with Scott 9000 as well when we were in Mauritius for the Afro Bitcoin conference, and we talked about, you know, open source mining and basically miners just producing the chips, or mining manufacturers just producing the chips instead of the whole machine and the firmware and everything being sort of from one hand. And I think it's really cool to see these applications where it's just, you know, okay, why not mine at 120 volts? I mean, I'm curious, what happens to the hash rate? Does anything, like, what changes hash rate wise if you run it at 120?
Hash rate wise, it's typically roughly 50% of the nameplate hash rate is generally what you see, anywhere between 40 and 55% of the nameplate hash rate.
Same efficiency?
Yeah, slightly less because you're going down to 120, but it's very close.
Okay, awesome. All right, and then the shroud is just basically something 3D printed that you put on the back of the miner. You sell it as a kit so that you can put it in your HVAC directly, right? So you don't lose that heat on the way, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool, man. How do you select suppliers? Like, what's the process for you guys? Obviously, you've been in the market for a while.
Yeah.
How do you make sure that you don't deal with, unethical,
the bad actors in the space? No, absolutely. Yes, there's a lot of them, that's for sure. We try to stick generally with the same suppliers that we have used from the beginning. As far as verifying new suppliers, we won't really bring on new suppliers unless we've actually met them. You know, we do video calls. We want to see kind of how they're handling the products, right? Nobody wants to get, you know, a $5,000 machine or more, have it arrived and it just be completely just beat up, you know, box destroyed or whatever the case may be. Nobody wants to see that. So handling our own inventory, we get to see that ahead of time, right? So we kind of get to stop. If something does arrive bad, we can see that ahead of time before the customer gets it. So that's kind of what differentiates us from other people, is we actually do hold our inventory here in St. Louis, right? So when we import products, we get to see them. We don't open them because we want to make sure the customer has the peace of mind of receiving a sealed box from Bitmain, from Canon, from What's Miner. And, you know, they want to have a sealed box and we want to provide that for them. But you can tell quite a bit from the outside of the box, that's for sure. At least get a good general idea of if there's going to be a problem or not with something.
Okay, fair enough. And I guess if there's a problem, people can always reach out to you and have a conversation. How did you guys, I'm curious, this year handle all the tariff stress when it came to delivering stuff? Like, tell me what that was like.
It was stressful and a nightmare. We never knew what was going to happen from day to day. We tried to stock up on inventory as much as we could. But with that, you know, there's a reason why most of the sellers don't hold their own inventory, because if it's just sitting there, it's losing value. It's not running, right? So a lot of people don't tend to hold their own inventory. So we did all our numbers we could, and we tried to forecast exactly how much we were going to need for each period. And it worked out pretty well for us. We did a good job. We weren't out of stock for anything for any significant period of time, and we're able to supply people with miners.
So this is exactly right. So the prices are fluctuating especially for like new machines so heavily, right?
Yeah.
So how does that management work of managing stock and making sure that you don't take too many machines? Is it just basically working on a hunch, or, you know, what's the strategy there to make sure that you don't sit on stock that then doesn't get bought and loses value quickly?
Yeah, I mean, we are miners too, right? So we kind of have the idea of maybe models that aren't going to be as popular or aren't as popular, right? So that definitely does help being miners ourselves. But there was a lot of looking back at previous data, seeing how many units of this we've sold or that we've sold during what period of time. And that's a good thing that my boss is really good at, was anticipating exactly what we're going to need.
Okay, well, I mean, that's pretty solid, eh? When I buy and sell machines, I have one supplier and I've never bought from anybody else, and they've been a great partner. But I don't think I will get to a point where I have, I mean, maybe for South Africa, I'm thinking, right? I want to have a couple of used machines here and import them, which is another story. But on the new stuff, I think you have to commit quite a bit of capital to like stock up on S21 XPs, you know?
Yeah, so absolutely.
It'd be difficult for most to do that. And I guess if you are in that position and you can just turn around and deliver them quickly, that does make it worth it. And you can charge that premium for that, right? How has this sort of year-end craze been for you, where people want to do this whole bonus depreciation thing? Which, you know, it's a debate for another time whether that's a valid play or not. But have you seen a lot of activity towards the end of the year as well for that?
We definitely saw an uptick. Not we didn't see like a crazy mad rush. We tried to inform our customers about this as soon as possible, right? We didn't want them to be scrambling at the end. We wanted to get the information out to them as soon as possible, through our newsletters and various social medias. And we've seen a lot of people take advantage of it right away, as soon as the opportunity came to be. And we kind of saw it slow down after, right towards the end of the year. A lot of our customers were already placed and had their machines up and running.
All right, fair enough. So let's say I come to you as a new client and I want to buy a machine for hosting. What does that sales call look like? Or what do you emphasize the most when it
First,
comes to selling
you want to get,
machines?
yeah, first you kind of want to determine a budget, determine what a goal and a plan is. And we offer a couple of recommended hosts that we work with pretty closely. We advise you to contact them, secure your rack space, right? You got to make sure it's even available to get a miner to them. Once rack space is confirmed, go on our website, place an order, and we send the miner directly to the host. We send the customer their serial number, as well as tracking number, and we send both of those to the host and to the customer as well.
The form and access
What's
for
that?
clients? Do clients have form and access to their machine?
That would depend on the host. Every host is a little bit different. They have a different style and how they operate and what they allow, what they don't allow. Different, white glove services type things.
Okay, fair enough. What are you personally? I mean, you sell and deal hardware every week of the year, without break, of course. What are you most excited for, like in the hardware space coming next year? What
I
tickles your
don't
fancy,
know.
Chris?
I don't know if anything coming next year is getting me excited. I think the most excited I've been is right now, is recently. The Home series, I really love to see that. It allows more people to get into Bitcoin mining, right? And it's very hard for somebody to commit to buying larger commercial units, even for hosting, without getting their feet wet just a little bit first. It's a lot easier to explain the process, how it works. It's a lot easier for the customer to build that peace of mind on their own, like, yes, okay, I do want to do this. I want to move forward with this. So them picking up a Nano 3S, something super small and simple, just learning how to set up their pool, get their pool information, get their wallet information, and learning about different pools and what they offer, and learn about solo mining, learn about pool mining, learn about Datum and making templates. Like there's a lot to learn over just buying something, sending it off to a host. You don't really get much knowledge out of that. You just see a bill that you have to pay, and you see the revenue that comes in. You don't learn too much about Bitcoin mining. So I've been really
Yeah, that's
excited to
fair.
do that.
Yeah, it's fair. I have like when I talk about hosting, I always say you need to have an additional reason. And one of the additional reasons is education, right? So there's not really any value that you can put on that education. And you can, you know, if if it's worth a lot to you, because your learning curve goes straight up. When you do have your own hash rate, now you want to know, you know, what's going on. Similar to holding Bitcoin for the first time. Then you can only do that when you have, that's why I asked you previously about form and access. You can only do that if you have that access to that information, right? If it's a black box and all you have is what the host is telling you and you see sats appear, like that doesn't really get you anywhere, right?
Yeah, right,
And that's
exactly.
why sort of the BitX series obviously is a great entry point there as well for home mining. And then you have, you know, now you have so many options. The Nano 3S, you got the Avalon Q, you got the BitXs, you know, and then you can do 120 volt mining at home, you know. Like there's so many cool options now. And that is very exciting to me as well. I am looking forward to the Proto Miner hopefully coming out. There's so much innovation happening, and I'm very, very happy about all the competition that's targeting Bitmain's 80%, I think, market share of mining. BitX, solomining.de, got it. Premium, made in Germany. You want to go fancy? Go for NerdX or NerdQX++ for a lot of power. Worldwide shipping, check out solomining.de today. Chris, what do you deal with used machines at all? Like, what's your take on that side of the...
Typically, we don't. Typically, we only deal with new units. It's just not something that we wanted to get into just yet. Could be something possibly we get into in the future. At the moment, we wanted to build and scale the company, and in order to provide like the best possible outcome for the customer, it's supplying them with something that's new, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're experienced with mining, there's a lot that can go wrong with used miners sometimes, just from buying it from the wrong person, just buying one that was in the wrong conditions and not ran properly. There's a lot that can go wrong. So sure. We have steered towards the new market.
Okay. And like, no doubt you have people that you sold machines to a while ago and they're now, you know, not that profitable anymore. Do people come back to you and say, hey, what do I do with this?
Some do, some don't. I mean, it's kind of a personal thing. Some people kind of already know what the deal is when it comes to like their larger commercial mines, miners and things like that. They know that it goes in a cycle, and that towards the end of the cycle, they become less profitable, and it's time to sell those miners and upgrade to something else, or hold that miner and wait for a better period of time to sell it and upgrade in the meantime. That's generally a conversation a lot of the hosts have.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Chris, time has flown. I'll do a round of rapid fire if you don't mind. You ready?
Sure. Yeah.
Cool. Best ASIC for reliability today. What's your answer?
On the market, I would say it's going to end up being the XP or the Q, and the Q on the other side. As far as new units go, personally, like my J Pros have ran forever. They were tanks. I still have them running, you know, and I never had a problem with them. So out of the 21 series, I would prefer the XP.
All right. Amazing. Most overrated ASIC?
Probably that S21 Plus.
Oh, curious. Why?
Reliability.
All right. So you haven't... I mean, look, it's hit and miss with Bitmain. And I think you need a large sample size to have a clear picture. The issue is just the support. That's what our people warn of. Like if they buy 5 machines and they're unlucky, it's very tough to get them fixed up and run again. How do you handle that, by the way? Like how do you handle RMAs and everything?
So unfortunately with Bitmain specifically, we're kind of in the same boat as everybody else. There's not, they treat us pretty much how they treat anybody else. It's not very good sometimes. But what we do is we have a plethora of parts here on hand. So let's just say it's a control board. Do you really want to send your miner out for RMA over a control board or a power supply? Sometimes it might not be worth it. Sometimes it's just better to grab a new power supply, swap it out, and move on. Send it out to get repaired if you can, or a hash board. If it's just a hash board, pull the hash board out. Put in a new hash board, send that board out for repair, and then you have another backup. It really has seemed to be the best way to handle a lot of situations with dealing with Bitmain. Now, so a company like Canaan, we've had nothing but great experience with them. There's repair facilities here in the U.S. It's generally a couple weeks turnaround time once you send your miner back to them. So, yeah, it depends on the company, but there's pros and cons to each.
Right, fair enough. What is the most asked question that you get in your support role? What do people mostly forget, or what are they misinformed about?
How do I get rich? is generally like, how do I get rich in Bitcoin mining, right? Like that's the first thing. So it kind of got to have the just grade one conversation with them first. There's so many people out there, it comes back to education, that just don't know about Bitcoin. They don't know about Bitcoin mining. They just know they want to get into it. They want to try it. There's nobody really that they can talk to. You can watch videos, but if you want to talk to somebody about it, unless you know somebody personally, what do you do? And that's kind of why we have a free intro consultation for people. We offer a free service. It's like 20-minute conversation where we can hop on a video call and we can have those conversations. It's a lot easier to ask those conversations in person.
How many of those do you have a week, would you say?
10 to 20 a week, maybe. Every other, yeah, about 10 a
Really?
week. Yeah, about 10 a week.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot more than I would have thought.
No, it's a free consultation, right? It's 15 minutes. If you're curious about Bitcoin mining, it's 15, 20 minutes to actually learn from an expert for free. What other company offers that, right? Like that's
Yeah, I'm
not.
thinking I should offer the same thing, and just because I do it anyway. Right, when
Yeah,
people contact me and say like,
exactly.
look, let's sit down, let's look at a model, let's, you know, but
Yep.
I'm not advertising it. And people, I think, often think, okay, shit, no, if I now contact these guys, they're gonna bill me, so I'm not gonna do it, you know, and I'd
Yeah.
rather not.
Yeah,
But I mean, we
absolutely.
do love talking about it all day, so it's a win-win.
Yeah, it's a win-win. I mean, it's no obligation. So, I've had conversations with people who ended up getting miners elsewhere for the reason their region or whatever the case may be, right? But at least they got the right knowledge that they needed, and that's most important to us, right?
Yeah, I
Education, the
love
more
that.
miners on the network, it's better for the network as a whole.
Awesome. All right, last but not least, Chris, you'd never buy hardware from a seller who?
Doesn't have their own inventory.
Hey.
But they don't see it, right? You don't know it. You don't
Yeah.
know what it could be, right? I've just heard nightmare stories from so many people who just they've never met the seller, right? They don't know the seller. If you know them and they're reputable, that's different. But just buying on WhatsApp off somebody that you don't know if they've delivered any quality products from anybody before, how can you or why would you send them five, ten, $20,000 or more? I mean, years ago that was our only option, right? When I bought miners, the only thing you could do was
Yeah.
order them on Telegram, you gotta pay in Bitcoin, and then you just hope that it arrived. Which yeah, like that's not very consumer friendly, right? Like if we want to grow the community as a whole, that's not a good business model for the customer, right? It's good for the business, but it's not good for the customer. And especially in North America, most people you don't have any consumer protections. What if the company doesn't send it to you ever? Now what do you do?
Yeah, you're
What
screwed. No, exactly.
is it? Bricks in those boxes, which we've heard of, right? Just rocks. Like, what do you do? Yeah, he sent it to you. Here's your tracking, but you got bricks. That's so scary and gut-wrenching to a lot of people, in which I think I'm hoping what we are striving to do, it will allow just more miners on the network and more people to mine Bitcoin. At the end of the day, that's what we want.
All right, man. Describe your average customer. Like, what does the average customer look like? And then tell people where to find more about Altia Tech and yourself.
Yeah, average customer is somebody who's first time mining Bitcoin to maybe medium size miner who's maybe they've already played with the Nano. They already have one or two miners at home, but now they're looking for an actual investment, right? Now they've done their learning and now they want to really invest in mining. Those would be our largest customer base.
Awesome. Right, tell people where to find you, Chris.
Yep, you can find us at altairtech.io, Instagram, Altair underscore technology, X, Altair underscore tech.
Right, this was Chris, Altia Tech, jack of all trades over there. You know where to find them. I hope you learned something new. And this was Hash Rate Up. Leave a like, comment, subscription. You know how all of that goes. It shows sponsors like Altair that people are valuing this content. So make sure you do that. And I'll see you next week. Cheers. Bye.